title, The Cardinal Virtues in Biblical Perspective, Part 7, and today we begin A Critique of Social Justice and Critical Theory, Part 1. We're going to have to go beyond this Lord's Day to continue with our critique of this subject, but we're going to have a change to this Lord's Day with regard to what you see on the screen. We're going to have two parts to this. We've noticed, and some of you have said it's been difficult for those of you who take notes to get all the quotes that I have up, and so we're not going to have all those quotes that are in my lecture, but we will have them sent out to you. There will be this that you see on the screen on the Lord's Day, and then there will be more fulsome notes that get sent out to you sometime later in the week. So you don't have to feel like, oh, I have to get all this down before he changes the slide. We'll make it easier for you in this regard. And so today we begin a critique of social justice and critical theory. And the first thing I want to assert is that embracing social justice and critical theory involves breaking the Ninth Commandment, as it names as oppressors those who have never been oppressed by anyone. It names as oppressors those who have never been, that have never oppressed anyone. And here I just want to refer you to the Ninth Commandment and what our catechism has to say about what is forbidden and what is required in the Ninth Commandment, and just go over this briefly. What is the Ninth Commandment? The Ninth Commandment is, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. What is required in the Ninth Commandment? The Ninth Commandment requireth the maintaining and promoting of truth between man and man, and of our own and our neighbor's good name, especially in witness bearing. What's forbidden in the Ninth Commandment? The Ninth Commandment forbiddeth whatsoever is prejudicial to truth or injurious to our own or our neighbor's good name. And what critical theory does is critical theory, and here I'm quoting now, critical theory divides the world into oppressed groups and their oppressors along the lines of race, class, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, physical ability, age, weight, and a host of other identity markers. So you and all, many people in this room would be identified under critical theory as being oppressors of the oppressed, even if you've never oppressed anybody in your life. You've never bothered anybody in your life, but you're identified under critical theory as being oppressors. I give you an illustration of this, and this was put out by Matt Walsh this previous week on the Daily Wire. And this refers to something that's happening right now in San Diego public schools. Now, if any of you know anything about California, you know that the San Diego area is one of the most conservative areas of California. It's where the Marine Corps base is found in the San Diego area. That's where Navy SEALs, are trained there. So that part of Southern California is a red part of California. It's a heavily Republican part of California. But this is what's happening right now in San Diego public schools, and I'm sure it's not just happening in San Diego public schools. I bet you it's happening all over the United States. I was telling my wife this morning that I would love sometime just to call up the principal of our local public high schools here and just ask for permission to sit in on a social studies class. And I doubt that I would be given permission to sit in on a social studies class. And I think it would be fascinating for me to sit in the back of the room in any public school social studies class today and just to monitor what's going on. Because here, this is what's going on right now with teachers in the San Diego public school system. And let me quote from Matt Walsh and the Daily Wire. A report from Christopher Rufo, writer with the City Journal, says that teachers in the San Diego Unified School District are being forced to attend, quote, white privilege training. This is no shock, coming from the same district that recently announced its plan to combat racism by completely reworking their grading system. No longer will students be penalized on the report cards for turning assignments in late, or failing to show up to class. Neither will grades be based on a yearly average. It's not clear what grades will be based on now. Perhaps the students will be given whatever grade they feel in their hearts they deserve. And the obvious implication of the rule change is that minority students can't be expected to show up to class or turn in assignments on time, so the system must be radically altered to give them a shot. As usual, the attempt to combat racism only succeeds in creating racism where it didn't previously exist. Which brings us to the reported white privilege training previously mentioned. San Diego United School District is forcing teachers to attend, quote, white privilege training, in which teachers are told, you are racist. And you are upholding racist ideas, structures, and policies. The training begins with a land acknowledgement, and that's in quotes, in which the teachers are asked to accept that they are colonizers living on stolen Native American land. The PowerPoint slide says that we must acknowledge the hidden history of violence against indigenous peoples in an effort to move towards justice. But when is this not acknowledged? And how is it hidden? It's drilled into our heads at every opportunity that the white settlers were murderous land thieves. It's acknowledged, if anything, too often, and with too much hyperbole, with little sense of perspective. The history of the entire globe, every settled part of it, is awash with the blood of conquest. Before whites ever showed up in the Americas, this land was being fought over, often quite brutally. Does that excuse whatever sins any white men committed? No, but it does mean that our reckoning with history must include more than just white men. Or else it's not a reckoning with history, but is a targeted attempt to scapegoat a particular race of people. It is racist, in other words. And Rufo continues, then the teachers are told that they will experience, quote, guilt, anger, apathy, and closed-mindedness because of their white fragility. And after watching clips of Robin DiAngelo and Ibram Kendi, the trainers tell the teachers, you are racist. You are upholding racist ideas, structures, and policies, and that they must commit to becoming anti-racist in the classroom. They must submit to the new racial orthodoxy. The teachers are told that they are part of an oppressive white power structure. The trainers claim that white people in America hold most of the power, and that white teachers have an ability to thrive that's being preserved at every level of power. And finally, teachers are told that they must become anti-racist activists. They must confront and examine their white privilege, acknowledge when they feel white fragility, and teach others to see their privilege. They must turn their schools into activist organizations. And none of this is unprecedented or unique. This is critical race theory, and it's infiltrated many of our cultural institutions, especially schools. We're probably at the point now where this sort of thing cannot be stopped unless some white employees somewhere file a racial discrimination lawsuit on their merits. It would be a rock-solid case. Here we have an employer singling out employees by race, subjecting them to degrading and insulting treatment, and requiring that they accept and embrace such treatment. And there would be no debate about its illegality if an employer required that black employees undergo deprogramming for their black privilege, etc., etc., etc. So you see, one of the things that we must say right at the outset with regard to critical theory and critical race theory is that it involves breaking the Ninth Commandment as it names as oppressors those who have never oppressed anyone. You and I are just named as oppressors simply on the basis of being white. And we're just named as oppressors, even though I'm sure we've never oppressed anyone. I know my grandparents came to America on my dad's side in 1913. On my mom's side, not long before that. And most of us, we have never oppressed anyone. We've just quietly lived our lives, endeavoring to live our lives in the fear of God and live our lives justly. And now we have critical theorists telling us, you are racist, you are oppressors. Merely by being what you are oppressors. So brothers and sisters, that's breaking the ninth commandment. That is bearing false witness against our neighbor. In by what standard we read this, it is membership in the dominant, hegemonically powerful group that determines one's complicity in the system, not one's individual conduct per se. And likewise, it is membership in an oppressed group that defines one's measure of innocence and conversely one's virtue. So now virtue is not a matter of the individual, it's just being part of the group that determines whether you are virtuous because you are oppressed, or whether you're vicious because you are part of the oppressed group. So that's a very important critique of critical race theory, of critical theory, that we must get out there. It breaks the ninth commandment. It labels as oppressors people who have never oppressed anyone. And you and I should not stand for it. We must not give in to this. But here's a second point I want to make with regard to beginning our critique. And it is this. The soft totalitarianism, and that's from an author that I found hard to put down this past week, a guy by the name of Rod Dreher. The soft totalitarianism of critical theory and social justice exerts a powerful pressure for Christians to live by lies. Now, the title of the book by Rod Dreher is Live Not by Lies. And you and I must not live by lies. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, this phrase, live not by lies, it comes originally from Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And just prior to his expulsion from the Soviet Union, Alexander Solzhenitsyn published his final message to the Russian people, encouraging them to live not by lies. And to live not by lies, Christians have to demonstrate courage in refusing to use the newspeak of critical theory and social justice. Now here, let me define what I mean by this. Newspeak is taken from George Orwell's 1984. And under critical theory and social justice, you are canceled today unless you conform to the newspeak that they have adopted. And what this involves, of course, is that it becomes a powerful pressure for Christians to go along with all this. When the scriptures call upon us not to be conformed to this world. Look with me, if you will, at Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2 says the following. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Christians are to resist the molding influence of the world, organized apart from and against God. Now, under social justice as we have, as we see it today, and under critical theory as we see it today, there is this powerful temptation for Christians to go along with it in order to get along in society. And that is something that you and I have to resist. To live not by lies, Christians have to demonstrate courage in refusing to use the newspeak of critical theory and social justice. There's a quote that I want to make. Under soft totalitarianism, the media, academia, corporate America, and other institutions are practicing newspeak and compelling the rest of us to engage in doublethink every day. And here's a whole bunch of illustrations of it. Men have periods. The woman in front of you is to be called he. Diversity and inclusion means excluding those who object to ideological uniformity. Equity means teaching people unequally, regarding less of their skills and achievements to achieve an ideologically correct result. And that is a very powerful thing that is happening all over the place today. Some of you say the best things after class, talking to me out on the deck, and I say to you, why didn't you bring that up as a question or as a comment in class? It would have been helpful for the whole class to hear what you're confronting in corporate America today, what you're confronting of this kind of pressure from the world that is calling upon you to conform to the newspeak of critical theory and of social justice. And so, Rod Dreher in Live Not by Lies said this: many Christians will see through these lies today, but will choose not to speak up. And their silence will not save them, and will instead corrode them. That's something to think about. Your silence will not save you, and will instead corrode you. And so, you know, here you might be in the workplace, and here, like this famous actress this past week, you know, who, this famous woman actress, but now she's determined that everybody has to view her as a man. I forget who she is. But she's still a she. And if you decide to go along with what she wants now and call her a he, that's going to corrode you. You're going to be breaking the ninth commandment by doing that. Because she is not a he. No matter how much society says, she's a he. And if you go along with that, and you don't say something about that, refusing to go along with critical theory, that's going to corrode you. You're going to be the one that breaks the ninth commandment in that regard. I want to give an illustration here. And in reading Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher, he uses this as an illustration. It's a Persian word called ketman, K-E-T-M-A-N. And he explains that ketman is a Persian word describing the practice of hypocritically maintaining the outward appearance of Islamic orthodoxy while inwardly dissenting. So somebody, you know, and it's very common in the Muslim world, you know, somebody appears to be outwardly conforming to Orthodox Islam, while at the same time they're drinking, they're doing all kinds of things forbidden by Islam. And Islam has come up with this Persian word ketan to describe those types of Muslims. They're hypocrites, right? That's a Persian word for hypocrite, ketan. And Christians can succumb to ketan when they convince themselves, as Roger Ehrlich writes, to live a lie in the workplace because that's what you have to do to have the freedom to do good work. And you and I need to think about these things. I want to highly recommend Live Not by Lies by Rod Dreher, and to see how the Ninth Commandment informs our whole critique of what is going on. To avoid living by lies, the Christian must embrace from the heart the requirements of the Ninth Commandment and determine that you, quote, will not say, write, affirm, or distribute anything that distorts the truth. That's from Solzhenitsyn. That was part of his last words to the Russian people before he came to the West and was expelled from the Soviet Union. He told his followers in the Soviet Union that this is what you should stand by. You will not say, write, or affirm, or distribute anything that distorts the truth. And again, you will not take part in a meeting in which discussion is forced and no one can speak the truth. And thirdly, you will walk out of an event as soon as you hear the speaker utter a lie, ideological drivel, or shameless propaganda. And then he said, he didn't say this, but I'm affirming this, to live not by lies requires that a Christian embrace the reality of suffering which finds favor with God. Because there's no way we're going to be to avoid suffering in the present climate in America if we consciously choose to live not by lies. If you consciously choose to live not by lies, the real possibility is that you will be canceled in some way. And that reminds us that the Bible has a very robust doctrine of suffering, and suffering for the right reasons. And we're entering a time in our nation's history where we just have to take that into account. We are not to live by lies. And we are to embrace suffering if this is what is required to uphold truth and to uphold the teaching of the Ninth Commandment. And here I would like you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like to read verses 19 through 23, and with this we'll end today, and we'll open it up for discussion. 1 Peter chapter 2, I reminded you last week that this whole epistle is important because it addresses suffering and prepares Christians as to how to meet suffering. I suggested that it would be a great series for Pastor Matt to do. It would certainly be a book that I would preach if I continued on past next year. I'd want to preach through this book because I think it is a very, very timely book. But notice with me 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 19 through 23. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. So here's just the first part of my critique of what is happening in America today. This powerful movement in America today that has virtually taken over public education today, taken over our colleges and universities today, entered into boardrooms today, taken over human resource departments and corporations today. And it is something that we need to think about, and we have to be a people who are determined, as Solzhenitsyn has said, to live not by lies. So if there's any comments, any questions, I hope this has generated some, because it's invariably been the case that when we're sitting around out there at the table, somebody says something to me, and I said, you should have brought that up in class for discussion. Stephen.
I'm just wondering if you're going to discuss